This is the Four Wheel Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor. We're taking it back to the roots, getting dirty and covering all things off-road, because pavement, well, that's for It's gloves off, in your face, on the edge, and the way off-road should be. We're your definitive source for all things dirt.
4WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, 4WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in-store, do the work yourself, or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to 4WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at 4WP.com.
Welcome to the Four Wheel Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor. Yes, and we are shifting gears. We are doing things Razor style today. Got Baja 1000 champion Justin Lambert with Cognito Motorsports. Yeah, he took that victory in Pro Turbo UTV, or I guess a forced induction, as it's known in SCORE. Yeah, he is going to be on the show today. This is going to be a good one. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. Justin and I pre-taped this one, obviously, and we go down some rabbit holes talking about business and the industry, and I think you guys are going to enjoy this one. So Justin Lambert, my guest today on the Off-Road Edition. Thank you, guys. This will be our last Off-Road Edition of the year. We will come back firing, though. We got Parker 250, Dakar Rally, all that coming up right after the start of the year, so we will dive into that as we get closer. We'll also have full Dakar coverage on the website, downanddirtyshow.com, so definitely want to be tuned in for that. So Justin Lambert today, I want to ask you guys, if you haven't already, please go over to iTunes, hit the subscribe button to this show. Really helps us out. Please subscribe on iTunes. You're also going to get my national show as well, All Things Motorsports. It is the RSS feed you want to be subscribed to on iTunes if you are a truck fan, an off-road fan, or a motorsports fan in general. That's for damn sure. And we've got that going on. Also, give me a follow at JimBeaver15 on social media. Got some really cool stuff cranking there. I was just at PRI show, and I got to tell you, that's always been like a drag racing, stock car, IndyCar show, but I felt like off-road's kind of creeping in just a little bit. So we got a lot to talk about PRI also, but thank you guys for the continued support here of the show. And it's been a fun ride. We relaunched this Off-Road Edition this year, and it's been great numbers wise. You guys continue to support it, tune in, and just want to thank you guys. Hopefully all of you have a great holiday season. I don't know, we'll come back, we'll talk about that as we recap the show. But right now, after this short commercial break here on the Four Wheel Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, we're gonna roll right into Justin Lambert.
Want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Anywhere is possible. It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire's wide variety of tires for whatever it is that you drive. Whether you're looking for off-road capability balanced with impressive on-road performance or ultra-high performance offering all-season traction designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has what you need to get where you're going. General Tire, providing anywhere as possible with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012.
Do you race or are you a weekend warrior? Have you checked on the date on your helmet recently? Don't get caught off guard by using an outdated helmet. Impact Racing, the leader in motorsport safety, has new SA 2015 helmets to fit your budget. Whether you're looking for a helmet with a full carbon fiber shell to take you to victory at the Indy 500, or just looking for some helmets for a weekend at Glamis, Impact Racing has a helmet for you. Find out more information at ImpactRaceProducts.com or on Facebook at Impact Safety.
Super ATV is the industry leader in aftermarket UTV and ATV parts and accessories. Super ATV products are designed, engineered, tested, and manufactured right here by Super ATV. Whether you're looking to upgrade your suspension, get stronger axles, or you're looking for a new winch to get you out of a tough spot, Super ATV has what you're looking for. And since we know you're in a hurry, we offer fast, free shipping to the lower 48 states on all orders. Visit superatv.com now and get your UTV or ATV dialed in. Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome my Polaris Razor factory racing teammate Justin Lambert to the line, who about 3 weeks ago now, Justin, you took home a win in a little thing called the Baja 1000, man. First off, congrats on that, dude. I guess that's a way to end the year on a high note, right?
Absolutely. Biggest race of the year and last race of the year, and finally got myself and the team a Baja 1000 win, so super pumped.
Well, you know, and it's funny because that one, I mean, the one year you guys actually, I think, swept Best in the Desert, right? And, I mean, you won just about everything there is to win in Best in the Desert. But Baja, that's just a little bit of a different animal.
Yeah, 2016 Best in the Desert season was a 7-race season, and we won every single race. And that was back when we were running an NA Polaris and racing against turbo cars. And I think we overalled 3 of those races, and yeah, it was a great season for Best in the Desert. Although we did race Baja, the 500 and the 1000 that season, we couldn't bring anything better than a second home. But we had a Baja 500 win in 2017, and then I still had the Baja 1000 to scratch off my list, and finally got her done.
Well, you know, and man, I think in turbo things have changed, dude. And it seems like it's changing every single year. And I actually had our car was built. What was it built in? 16, 17, 17. I don't know. It's dated at this point. We got a new one we're going to build about midpoint through this season. But you want to talk about a sport that's changed even since like 2016, you know, because our car, we were in it pretty deep. And you went by me at the UTV Worlds, and literally our car was doing it. I was doing everything we could in our car, and you went by, and I just went, our car physically won't do that. And, you know, and I just started laughing because I'm like, man, how in 3-4 years, you know, the sport has changed that much where, you know, it seems like the turnover in our cars, I mean, it's like if you're not building a new car every couple of years, like you're just left behind, you know?
Yeah, we just finished a new car that we ran at Vegas to Reno and then the Laughlin Desert Classic, and then it's the one we just won the 1000 in. But prior to that, we had 2.5 seasons on our 2017 Polaris Razor XP Turbo and 2 big wins, you know, the Mint 400 50th anniversary and then that Baja 500. So that's a great car. I mean, technology is still changing. Right now it's the little bells and whistles, but I think the big jumps are over. But I mean, right now, if you've got a turbo car and you've got, you know, axles and belts and clutches sorted out, you got a competitive car. I don't care if it's a brand new car or not. So I knew, you know, in 2016 we sort of waited and didn't go to the turbo class. We sort of waited because we knew there was going to be some learning curve. Little did we know that learning curve was going to cost us 2017 and 2018 having super successful seasons, but at least we got some podiums under our belts there. But man, 2019, man, it was tough. We didn't have a podium all season long. Best in the Desert, we still finished 4th in points, but didn't get any podiums. So it was a Hail Mary for the Baja 1000, and luckily finally got a win under our belt for 2019. It was the biggest one of the year, so that's a bonus for us.
Well, and I think too, you know, that's saying something, because I think, you know, you talk about, you know, anybody looks at, you know, the turbo class and goes, all right, give me 5 to 10 teams you think that are going to win on any given weekend, and your guys, your name is at the top of the list. You know what I mean? You guys and Guthrie's and Sims, and I mean, they're, you know, Blurton, and, you know, there's quite a few there. But for you guys not to take a podium, I mean, I think it speaks to the health of the turbo class. I mean, we look at 60-plus entry fields and stuff like that, but, you know, there's any given race 20 teams that can take a podium. You know, it's not, you know, there used to be a point in time where there's a handful and you knew they were all going to be in the mix for a top five, but dude, now it's like a crapshoot. You know, you finish, honestly, you finish top 15 at any given race, and it's probably a solid result, you know, at least in Best of the Desert.
Yeah, there's, I mean, talking 40, 50, 60, even 70 car fields, you know, just to get in the top 10 is an accomplishment. But, you know, nowadays the competition's stiff, and props to all these other guys racing and joining the class. It makes it a lot of fun. But man, if you, you know, one flat tire, one broken belt, or one axle change, and it's kicking you off the podium nowadays. So there's guys out there making it super consistent and making it super competitive. So I think we finally got all our little gremlins sorted out. Maybe not all of them, but for the most part. So I mean, Baja 1000, it was utterly flawless, besides one flat tire, which is pretty expected for a Baja 1000 like we just had.
Yeah, well, you know, and how is it? I think it's probably ideal almost doing what you guys did, where you're debuting a car mid-season and you're kind of getting all the gremlins worked out. Obviously, we know they're worked out at the 1000 taking that victory, but heading into next year, you know, a lot of guys finish them up over the winter, and it's like Parker, they debut a new car, and it's like, oh, what gremlins are going to pop up now, you know? But you guys, I feel like, you know, heading into 2020, you guys should be on point, right? Because you've had that development work, so it's like entering the new season with a car you know is proven.
Yeah, absolutely. Taking that momentum and all the little tweaks and things we did before the 1000 and having that pay off. And now we're super ready to carry that on into Parker beginning of the season. So our hopes are high, and I believe we got the skills and hopefully the driver to get it done at Parker.
Yeah, well, you know, talking about Baja, though, we got to go back and talk to this one, because this is a wild Baja 1000. I know all the mud, the rain, like that threw everything in a, you know, into a bit of turmoil. I know they were saying UTVs probably, you know, had a bit of an advantage down there just with the four-wheel drive and being lightweight and kind of being able to billy goat over some stuff nobody else can. But how was the race for you guys? I know up front, Matlock, he was kind of shot out of a cannon there for a while. And then, you know, you guys were kind of, you were right in there, you know, and Wayne kind of stepped out and was doing his Wayne things. And then all of a sudden the race came back to you guys. I mean, kind of take us through that event, because it was pretty wild with all the mud down there, and then just kind of how the start kind of came to you guys over about the midway point of the race.
Yeah, the weather was crazy down there. I mean, I don't visit Baja super frequent, usually only 2-3 times a year, and I've never seen it rain down there. So to see it 4 inches in 2 days was pretty nuts. And it kind of worried everybody, but in reality we knew, okay, well, everybody's got to go through the same mess. But postponing the race 24 hours, great idea, fix some things, didn't really have to change the course much at all. So that was awesome. But we, you know, we had a 27 car field in the turbo class, and we started 13th. It was actually right where I wanted to start, right in, you know, mid pack. And all the guys that have been doing well in score starting up front. I think Wayne was fourth or fifth or somewhere in there starting. Actually, we were right where we wanted to be. And we knew that was going to be a 20 hour race, maybe more. And so there was no reason to just go nuts, you know, the first half of the race. All we needed to do was just keep the leaders in our reach, you know, 15-20 minutes. And by the time I got in the car, which was at race mile 340 of that 800 mile race, and we did just that. Victor Herrera and Adrian Orellana, they started the race for me, so they ran from the start to 340, and they stuck to the game plan. Maybe a few more nerfs than I was expecting. We got a couple of dents on front and rear bumpers, but this guy did a good job handing me the car in great shape at 340, literally, like, I don't know, 16, 17 minutes behind the leader, who was I believe it was Matlock at that point. So we went out into San Felipe, which is, you know, one of the roughest parts of the course, and I just saved it through the rough stuff and went fast where I had some good lines and where I could go fast. And then by the time we got to 580, there was race mile 580, there was 220 miles left. And that's the first time I asked, all right, where are we at? And we took off from pit, and they told me Matlock's 15 minutes in front of you. And so we poured it on right there. That's pretty much when the race started for us. And 50 miles later, we were passing Matlock because he had a couple a mechanical issue, and so it slowed him down a bit, and we got past, and man, we just had to save it and get to the finish line. But that's a little nerve-wracking in its own because you don't know who's coming behind you, and when the pit is hurrying and they tell you, hey, you got a car 4 minutes behind you, we don't know if it's you know, if it's Wes Miller, if it's Mark Burnett, you know, any of these other guys, Schuler, but it happened to be Matlock, so we knew, you know, we were faster than him because he was having some issues. So we poured it on that last 70 miles and put another 10 minutes on him, and ended up at the finish line with about a 19-minute gap.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's funny, you know, you talk about saving the car and things like that and kind of letting a race come to your favor. And it's funny because there's not actually a lot of races we can do that at anymore, because it used to be like these long distance, even like a Mint 400. It was like, oh, yeah, we're gonna play it easy for a while. Now, like you and I both know, like, that's crazy. I mean, you know, somebody's going to pin it for all 400 miles at the Mint, and whoever doesn't break is going to be the guy that walks away. So it's kind of funny that there's still that one race a year where you can really kind of play it safe. But I feel like there's few and far between. I mean, the Mint, you know, you may lay up a little bit, run at 95% or something the first lap and kind of get through it, but there's not much leeway there like there is, say, at the 1,000, you know?
Yeah, if you're talking a seven-hour race or less, you pretty much got to run 90% these days. There's just a lot of hitters out there that, you know, can go have a good race. So the Mint 400, you know, for UTV, that's a six-and-a-half-hour race, basically. So you really need to be on it. I mean, you can run, usually I'll run the first lap at 80%, the second lap at 90, and the last lap at 95 or 100, just depending on where we're at. But, you know, the thing is, you just never know how it's going to turn out until the race starts. And, of course, somebody could go, you know, run 95% at a Baja 1000 and maybe not even have one problem, and that guy's going to kill it. So you just never know until the race starts and things start to unfold.
Yeah, well, you know, and the other thing I think is interesting, too, is, you know, I feel like a couple of years ago, you know, 2, 3, 4 years ago, everybody was talking about axles and belts, axles and belts. You're worried about blowing axles. Everybody's worrying about blowing belts and stuff like that. And I feel like all of us now, we've got to the point where, you know, we might worry about a belt here and there if you're just flogging it on a dry lake bed, you know, at 95 for a long time, yeah, or something like that. But I feel like the problems we had with these cars, you know, 2, 3 years ago, most of them are kind of, we've all kind of worked through them and figured it out, you know?
Yeah, I think axles for sure. You know, jumping from naturally aspirated cars to turbo cars, there's just so much more torque. And with that torque comes more heat. And so I think everybody's got to figure out what grease to use, what brand axles to use, things like that. So everybody's got that sorted out. Clutch stuff, on the other hand, is still still a little bit of a thorn for, you know, all of the brands of UTVs that use CVT clutches and belts. But just because, you know, building a desert car like this, some people don't realize how much heavier these cars are. I mean, you're swapping from non-beadlock wheels OEM to beadlock wheels and larger tires and spare parts and light bars and tools and spare tire, spare axle, all those things. I mean, you end up with an extra 500 pounds on a car, and that's really takes a toll on the load created on the clutch system and the belt. So, you know, we're still not able to go as fast as we want to go in certain sections, and definitely the high-speed stuff is where we definitely got to watch belt temps and things like that, so you don't end up on the side of the course changing a belt, which is not fun for anybody. So, yeah, I think everybody's getting dialed in on what the limitations are, and then as we find little gains here and there, I mean, we just end up going faster and faster, so it's a lot of fun, good time to be racing UTVs, and it's real fun to watch the sport grow and be a part of that growth.
Yeah, well, you know, and talking about you guys, I think you're the interesting, you know, you're the interesting guy where it's a race on Sunday or a race on Saturday, sell on Monday type of thing. And, you know, it's funny because I, you know, you start looking around at other racers, and, you know, in the past few years, like, there's a lot of guys starting to, you know, take on Cognito Arms and things like that. And, you know, recreationalists, I'm sure, you know, have you seen your guys' race program? I mean, in the activation around it really, you know, helps support your brick and mortar business, you know, that you guys have, you know, the rest of the year when you're not racing.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I'm super proud of besides winning the Baja 1000 is I get to go out there and prove the product that my company designed and engineered and built and sells to the customer. That customer, whether they're recreation or a racer, they've got the proof in their hands that we did our homework and we proved to them that the money they spend with us, they're getting their value out of it. So I'm super proud of my team for that, the team at Cognito and the race team. But, yeah, we actually had the first four UTVs that crossed the finish line in order. It was myself and then Wayne Matlock, Kristen Matlock, and then Matt Burrows. All four had Cognito suspension components. So first four cars across the line, all Cognito. I mean, talk about a statement right there. So, yeah, really proud of our brand. And you know, I don't call our stuff the best because there could be other stuff out there that might be better that I don't know about. But to go out there and lay down results like that and then see other brands that are competitors of Cognito claim they have the best, I don't like to claim it. I like to just go out on the track and prove what we have is one of the best.
Yeah. Well, and I think, yeah, like you said, that the quote unquote saying you're the best, it's a bit of a gray area there. And like you said, I think your guys' approach to it's like, yeah, we're not going to claim we're the best. We'll just show you the results sheet. That's probably more of a statement than any kind of advertising you guys could do.
Yep.
So,
yeah, it's a cutthroat market these days in UTV. There's a lot of builders out there, a lot of people. There's some garage builders that do some nice stuff as well, a lot of small businesses doing stuff, and there's businesses like Cognito that are striving to have the customer service and the sales teams and the marketing and the nice website and all that stuff and spending money on engineering and not just building parts and saying they're the best. You know, we're doing it right. We're doing it the right way, so real proud of that.
Yeah, well, and with the UTV industry, I mean, it's blown up, and I don't go into any, you know, any kind of meeting with potential partners or anything else where, you know, because I got my hands on a bunch of stuff where UTV isn't at the forefront of the conversations. And you guys, I mean, you have the UTV business. You guys also make, you know, suspension for full-size trucks and things like that. I mean, you know, how big is the UTV side of your business? I mean, obviously, you guys, we know the truck market just slays. You know, anybody can go to SEMA or any of the shows and go to any parking lot around the country and you know, at least the Southwest and see that. But, you know, how big has the UTV side of the business become for you guys? Almost equal to the truck, or does the truck still outweigh it?
Well, we started in 2001. I started this business in a chicken coop, literally. But in 2001, we started with truck product, truck and SUV, lift kits, leveling kits, steering upgrades, things like that. Over the years, I've got a few patents, or actually one patent and another couple patents pending. But the one we have is for a steering fix for GM trucks. So that's really launched the brand for the truck and SUV side. But when UTV stuff came on, you know, 10 years after that, I figured, you know what, UTV is a good market to get in. Not only is it fun, but every single person who has a UTV has a truck. It doesn't work the other way. Not everyone who has a truck has a UTV, but definitely every single person who has a UTV is going to have a truck. So it's nice to be able to cross market, and we gained followers and customers that didn't even know about Cognito because they heard about or saw us at the races or were using our UTV product. But the UTV product for us is about 30% of our business, so the truck and SUV, 70%. And over the last, I'd say, 3 years, it's pretty much grown pretty even across the board. UTV is difficult, though, because it's changing so quick. It's hard to get an ROI on the money that we're putting into engineering and development. Truck and SUV, on the other hand, you know, those platforms usually last between 7 to 10 years, to where UTV, it's like 2 to 4 years.
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask. I was going to say, man, your engineers there, you guys got to be like pinned all the time, you know, especially on the UTV side. Like you said, car and truck, you know, they're going to last a while, but it seems like every 2 years or something, and the manufacturers might make a small tweak, and nobody will actually notice it other than a guy like you, where you go, oh, man, they changed this thing by a quarter of an inch, and it throws everything off, and then, you know, here you guys go again with an update for this year model and stuff like that. I mean, it's got to be, you know, especially now with all the different manufacturers getting involved in the UTV game, I mean, it's got to have you guys pinned like 24/7 on development.
It is, and it's, I mean, little changes like that, and you just want to shake your head, but it's not going to do any good shaking your head. So you just got to adapt and adjust and move on and trying to make the best out of it. But yeah, it does make it challenging. So, you know, although UTV is the funnest part and probably what I love, you know, more than the truck stuff, to be honest, but it's harder to make money at just because it's changing so quick. And truck stuff, generally, little changes here and there. You're going to sell more products, so you can take whatever time or design you had to invest in it, and you're going to make, you know, more money over the long run on it, or return on that investment. Making money is subjective. it's definitely a challenge. And at 40, I'm 44 years old now, and when I started this thing 18 years ago, I never thought it would be this difficult. I mean, business is just tough, and this segment with aftermarket parts is not easy. There's just a lot going on.
Yeah, well, and I know it's one of those too. When you start out small, and I've done that, you know, and you take on an employee, and then a second employee, and then a third employee, and you know, all of a sudden you start, you know, not only is the business there, but then you've grown so much where then you start worrying about, man, like I've got other people's, you know, other people to worry about, you know, and it's like before I ever even pay myself, I got to make sure that we got enough money in the door to pay these people before I can take a check, you know, and like it adds that other layer there, you know, where now all of a sudden you're not just worrying about yourself and keeping the doors open to the shop. You got to worry about everybody else and them making their mortgage payments and stuff, you know?
Absolutely. And it's, you know, the people are the most important part because, you know, without them, you can't go design new product and market new product. You just can't do it all on your own. So the people are the most important part. And, you know, these days I'm learning that the hard way. I just, you know, in the past 10 years or 15 years, I always wondered why can't people just work as hard as I do or understand it like I do? And it just, not everybody's the same. So it doesn't work that way. So learning how people work has kind of been part of my homework lately, is learning how people think, how they work, and what their goals are, and trying to build the best team possible is kind of my next challenge to tackle.
Yeah. Well, you know, talking about tackling some challenges, what's in store for you guys in 2020? Obviously, you know, you're back with the Desert program. I don't know. Things are a little bit crazy. I know Best in the Desert's got their series. They've added events. They got their Triple Crown. I mean, there's, you know, what the Martellis have got with the Mint and UTV Worlds. You got the 4A Score Series. I mean, where's I got to tell you, running everything would be pretty much an impossible task at this point for anybody. What's the schedule look like for you guys?
Yeah, there's a lot of racing going on lately. And then 2020, there's even more racing.
Yeah.
So, you know, BITD has 7 UTV races. Score's got 4 races. Martelli's got 2 races. There's no way I can hit them all. I just can't afford to. Although I'd love to go chase it at every race. But I think we're going to focus on the big ones. The BITD Triple Crown, which is pretty new. We're going to go run all 3 of those races for sure, and probably at least 2 or 3 more of the BITD races. For sure, got to hit the Mint 400 and the UTV World Championships. I mean, for my sponsors, Cognito, Monster Energy, Polaris Razor, you know, they're going to want to see us go to the big events and get good content and popular content. So that's going to be the goal, although one of these days I'd like to give a full Score season a go and run for some points championship and Score. But right now I've never run the 250, San Felipe 250, and then that new Baja 400 I haven't run either. So right now we're going to have to pace ourselves and kind of play it by ear, but for sure we're going to be at the Parker 250 and the Mint 400. Those will be the next 2 races on the schedule, 100%.
Yeah, I got to ask, is I know I'm going to KOH this year with a Turbo S, and we're gonna see what the hell I'm getting myself into. But any interest on your part on King of the Hammers? I feel like that might be a something in your wheelhouse at some point.
Yeah, all that racing I just talked about, and I left out King of the Hammers. But King of the Hammers is a big one, a real big one. And while I would like to go give it a go there, it's going to take a lot for me to get prepared for a race like that. And at this point with my business and my son and expanding the business and all the other racing I got going on, I'm going to have to stay away from King of the Hammers this year. Maybe next year, we'll see. But I know that to be competitive, I'm going to have to go spend weeks down there learning rocks and learning that terrain and all those runs down there. So I'm definitely not going to go unprepared. That'd be kind of a waste of money. I'm not that lucky. So that roll of the dice, I don't think would yield me very good results.
Yeah, that's my approach. I'm like, yeah, year one, I've told everybody, like, no expectations. If I go and finish this thing, I'm going to be stoked. I think Scanlon and you know, those guys kind of did it right last year. And they just kind of snuck in and got a finish there. And I'm like, you know what? If I can do that year one, like, let's do it. So I agree with you, though. I've been wanting to do it for the 3 or 4 years. And, like, this year was the year we finally pulled the trigger and got it all put together. But it was, you want to do it right if you're going to do it, especially a team like you where, you know, all the eyeballs are going to be on you wherever you show up, you know?
Absolutely.
So, well, man, I appreciate you taking the time, buddy. I know you got business to run. I guess this is, I don't think things pick up for you guys around the holidays. I'm sure that things got to have a little bit of an uptick, right? People buying some Christmas presents for their husbands and things like that.
It's been a bit of a different year. You know, I've never fought so hard for so little growth in business, and just aftermarket product companies just seem to be having a little bit of a tough year, but the economy is still good. So maybe people are hanging on to their money. We'll see. Maybe it's going to be super good Christmas for a lot of enthusiasts out there. But yeah, we're running some, you know, we're doing some things that we've never done before and working real tight with dealers and things like that and pushing towards the public. So right now things are hopping pretty good, but you know, in the little downturns that you have, you just got to sit back, make adjustments, and get ready to go for the next wave. So that's what we're doing as well. So we're closed over the holidays for a little bit of vacation time, but plus to do inventory. So come back January 2nd, we'll be ready to hit it hard.
All right. Well, I appreciate the time, buddy. Always fun catching up. Congrats again on the Baja win. And I guess I'll see you in a couple of weeks here at the Parker 250.
Yeah, we'll see you there, and I'll come watch you at King of the Hammers.
All right. Hopefully it's not too much. Hopefully you're not seeing too much, like rolled over cars or anything. It's just me working my way through.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports. The sound of the racetrack. And the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount. And that's all we got this week on the Full Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition powered by Polaris Razor. Thanks to continuing to support the show for tuning in. Once again, go over to iTunes, subscribe, and give us a rating. Follow me at JimBeaver15 on social media, and hopefully you guys have a great holiday season. Be sure and support all the companies that support us. Polaris Razor, Four Wheel Parts, General Tire, Vision Wheel, Dirtfish. Don't forget, use that coupon code DOWNDIRTYDF. That'll get you 15% off at Dirtfish. Gibson Exhaust, Rigid Industries, Pro Armor, Impact Razor products, and then all of our amazing supporters like Super ATV, iRacing, and RacingJunk.com. We got a ton of companies involved with us, and they all keep things cranking for yet another year. So yes, once again, hopefully you guys have a great holiday season. Looking forward to spending some time up in Minnesota myself. I'll be up at X Games Snowbike Qualifiers this weekend, watching those guys and girls qualify into X Games. So looking forward to that. But once again, hopefully you guys have a great holiday season. Follow along my shenanigans on social media, and you know what? Chances are I'll probably follow you back as well. Love to see what you guys are doing, and hit me up if you got any guest suggestions as we head into 2020. Love to have some new fresh guests on the show, so looking for your input on that. Once again, be safe, have a great holiday season, and we'll see you in 2020.
4WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, 4WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in-store, do the work yourself, or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to 4WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at 4WP.com.